It's good to be able to share our Wednesday, midday, midweek opportunity to gather and to ground into the gift of the present moment, really. Such a precious resource that's available to us always, and that it can be so easy to lose sight of. So maybe we can practice in just a very simple way. And part of our grounding sometimes is grounding into a sense of safety in the moment. And so one of the ways we do that is actually with our eyes open and a practice of letting our animal body look around. Our animal body sometimes actually needs to orient to the space that we're in before we can soften the gaze or close the eyes and settle. So you might even let yourself, look around. Really see your space, to look up, to look down, to actually turn and look, over the right shoulder, to use the muscles of the neck, to actually even in your chair, to kind of let the muscles of your hip be engaged, to glance behind you and then to come back to center and look around and to actually use muscles of hips and neck to look over your left shoulder, to really reassure the animal body like, nothing's behind me. I can actually be here. And even if our thinking mind knows that, our animal body doesn't always know that. And I think in these times where we're activated by so many things, many of us are living in our animal bodies more. We just are. That survival mechanism's getting triggered and activated. So orienting before meditating to the physical space, eyes open, can be a tremendous resource to the settling and the surrendering into stillness. So when you feel ready, you might soften the gaze, maybe even close the eyes if that feels right for you in this moment. Knowing you always have the option of practicing with eyes softly open, or even looking around during a meditation if ever the nervous system is feeling revved up. So it's a deep honoring, a deep respect for the animal body. And taking a deep breath or two, and with the exhalation, inviting a letting go. the beginning of a letting go into this moment, into this body sitting here, feeling the soles of the feet on the floor, if that's how they're oriented. Feeling your bottom on the cushion or the chair. Perhaps the length of the back body stabilized and supported from behind. Letting the breath just find an easeful background rhythm as you continue to soften and settle into the body. The body is our most intimate home. It's the place that we live and are alive. Even though we're so often visiting past or future through the activity of the mind, this body is actually our true habitat. You might lovingly sweep the warm sunbeam of your awareness through the body. Letting it caress the top of your head and melt its way down through the muscles of the face. Releasing the face, the jaw, the eyes, the throat, from having to engage. For just this next half an hour, the face, the voice gets to rest. Then inviting the shoulders to soften away from the ears and to settle down the back body. Arms hanging from the sockets. So there's no extra efforting in the arms. They can just rest, relax, and heavy on the lap or on the legs. Palms of the hands open, whether palms down or palms up. and fingers, soft and supple. And feeling the warmth of the sunbeam of your awareness wash through the torso. Letting there be an ease to the flow of the breath. The spaciousness in the abdomen. A releasing of any bracing in the back body that's possible. And allowing the lower body, the hips, the legs to rest more fully into the support that's offered from below. Softening into the stillness of simply sitting. Receiving the generosity of support that's offered by the earth, by gravity. Letting yourself be held. And receiving the generosity of the breath. The nourishment provided with each in-breath. The cycle of replenishment and release with each breath cycle. and allowing your attention to rest. Wherever it feels most accessible and supportive. It might be the focus of the breath. Feels like home. And it might be one of the touch points in the body. That offers a generosity of grounding or steadiness that really supports and serves you today. Or it might be some other point of focus, a broad, open, spacious awareness, taking in sounds or the wider field. So just trusting your own awareness to help you find a home base for this practice. Today, so that when the mind wanders, as it will do, there's a place to come home to rest into. Where you can feel a sense of settling and support. coming home to the generosity of just the next breath. Perhaps with an appreciation of what a gift it is to be able to breathe. as we come to the final minutes of our practice together today. Really opening to receive any benefit from this gift of pausing, of breathing, of being with your precious moment-to-moment experience. The benefit of gathering and practicing in community. And if there's any appreciation or gratitude that arises within you, notice what gratitude feels like in the body. Maybe a warmth or an ease, a settling. Openness. Savoring the gifts of your practice, whatever they might be today. Offering gratitude if it authentically arises. And perhaps from this well of being nourished and resourced, there might flow a wish that all beings might be nourished in this world by goodness and generosity and gratitude. May all beings know the gift of well-being. May all beings be free. May it be so. So another facet from which to consider the experience of belonging is the way we belong to the circle of generosity and gratitude. If you remember from, I think last year, we visited with the Paramis that list of the 10 perfections. And gratitude is not on that list, but generosity is. Generosity is the first Parami. It's that Pali word that we often hear or see, dana. Dana. Many people will go to meditation retreats and they wonder who Dana is, because there's Dana on the little pieces of tape all over the often the kitchen. You know, there'll be a bag of coffee with Dana on it, and hot chocolate or crackers or chocolate that people have left and are gifting to the community. And I often will hear from people after their first retreat, variations of this story of like, wow, Donna sure had a lot of stuff at that retreat. And it's this gift, this giving, this paying forward of the abundance. And the path of practice actually begins with generosity. We often think the real practice is sitting still, closing our eyes, and finding the breath. And really, the root of practice is this reciprocity of exchange. If we go back to how the Buddha set up the monastic order, he built generosity into the framework that has been in existence now for, over 2,500 years. And monks are only allowed to own robes, a bowl, have requisite medicine. They can't handle money. They can't even store food, and they go on their alms round every single day and invite the generosity. They are literally fed by the generosity of the people where they live. And there's such an appreciation in the cultures where this is foundational. Monasteries are in these villages, and very poor people who barely have enough to feed themselves feed the monastics every day. And there's great joy in it, and there's a sense of receiving in the giving. There's a generosity in giving, there's a generosity in receiving, and there's this cycle of exchange. And here in the West, I think we don't really have an appreciation of this. Everything comes with a price tag. Not everything, but we have a lot of training. What's it worth? What am I going to get for it? And there's such a freedom in just having the gift of experiencing moments of this extraordinary flow, this voluntary letting go that comes from a sense of belonging, of care. We've talked a lot about care in this series on belonging, and in the last year and a half, and there's so many ways we can be generous, right? We can share our time, our energy, our presence. Sometimes our resources, material or financial. And you might even just for a moment reflect just silently on a moment when you were generous. Maybe giving a smile or a kind word to someone. Maybe sharing a meal. Maybe offering a donation to something you believed in. You might even just notice how that feels in your body or in your heart to contemplate this moment of goodness. And whether there's much that's noticeable here for you or not in this moment doesn't matter. You don't have to fabricate fireworks in response to this memory. But this is actually a practice. It's a practice that's taught in the Buddhist suttas, the teaching stories of the Buddha in different places, that generosity is good. It's good, the simple version, the secular version might be it's good in the beginning, it's good in the middle, and it's good in the end. But we're taught, we're invited to recognize that there's a goodness and a nourishment in the contemplation of being generous. So just the idea of, maybe I could volunteer there, or maybe I could help that person that I saw that was really struggling. Or so just in that contemplation, there's an aliveness, a goodness. And there's a goodness in the doing. In the moment, as it's happening, the action of generosity is unfolding. And there's a goodness and nourishment in the reflection upon having given. It's not ego, it's not narcissistic to reflect on our goodness. It actually helps nourish those pathways in who we are. And I've been looking in recent weeks, for good news stories. It's part of my sanity, is to balance the hard news with the good news, and to look for just these small examples of everyday generosity. And a few of them, that surfaced for me. There was just a sweet one on Nextdoor, that online kind of neighborhood listserv that you can be on, and I don't frequent, but I happened to be on one day and just looked, and there was this just sweet story, happened in Louisville, and someone said that they had lost a hearing aid. They had taken off their mask, and the hearing aid got caught in the strap of the mask and went flying, and they were looking and looking and looking, and they had described how, the search grew to include about 20 different people who walked by and stopped, and like everybody's looking for the hearing aid. Somebody lifted the grate off of this, the drain to the, so it was like this extensive search. And it was just so sweet, this common humanity of the vulnerability of, just this everyday moment that happened, and the goodness that gathered around this need that was seen. And then the hearing aid was found, and and there was gratitude. There was just a gratitude for this care that was offered. And I see you, and I'll be right with you, Elise. We see how gratitude and generosity go hand in hand, and how they just, you know, nurture each other. There's this way that it flows. So I'll just see what you want to offer, Elise, before I continue. Which is just, it's so beautiful, so beautiful. And generosity often gathers generosity to it. In that example, the other example that I was really reflecting on is I have a friend in the neighborhood who has really, in recent years, devoted herself to building relationship and support networks with the local homeless population. And I think the circle of love is what she's come to call it, has like 140 volunteers that have joined in, that cook, that deliver, that, you know, connect with and offer a sense of humanity and belonging to a group of people that are often on the margins. And I think the example you offer, Elise, and this these two examples show how collectively we can offer so much more. And you know, the freedom that comes, you know, to give a gift of time or energy or attention or resources, you know, we have to literally like open our hand to let go of something. Yeah, we have to let go. And look, when we have an open hand, it's available to receive what's being gifted in return from the world. So there's this tremendous, you know, freedom and abundance that becomes available through these two practices of belonging. So would love to gift you all just a little time together and to share reflections or stories of gratitude, and we'll take about, you know, 6 minutes and then come back for a closing. Welcome back. I'll just see if there is anything that wants to be spoken about what you discovered in chatting with each other. I love that, David. I really appreciate that, you know, just that giving to oneself, to include oneself in the circle of generosity. And you know, maybe in closing, one thought before I have a short poem. I don't often name it directly, but I'll just name it as we come toward the end of the year, and it's been a while that, if you feel moved in any way to be part of the circle of generosity for this offering that we have shared together for 2 years, you are welcome to offer a donation. I tend to fold that into my scholarship fund. I've gifted a lot more scholarship money in these last 2 years with the pandemic, so part of what helps me continue to be part of this stream of generosity is the generosity that I've received from some of you over time. And so, checks, or if you have PayPal or Zelle are the two that I access, which through some banks you can, and you can just use my email address at either of those. So I thank those of you who over time have contributed, and I know I really appreciate just being in this stream and this cycle of the energy and the care that I feel very nourished by in this group, and feel like it's part of this long stream of generosity. For 20 years now, I've been gifted teachings from so many teachers, so it's just this, all of these streams that come together. So I'll just end with a few words by Dana Faulds. I think it's a beautiful reminder to just not lose sight of the abundance that we live within, even as we live in challenging times. Throw off the bonds of your conditioning and fear and celebrate the wonder of being here. Experience this moment as it is, connected by breath and essence to the whole. You couldn't be separate if you tried. Live this day as if the earth exhales blessings in your direction, as if trees speak their deepest secrets in your ear, as if bird songs can lift you outside your ordinary state of mind and bring you into truth. Be the creative juice flowing through the universe. Be compassion in action and wholeness in motion. Be silence and stillness, the ocean of love so palpable that no one can, not one cell of you disputes the truth that you are that. Be silence and stillness. The ocean of love, so palpable, not one cell of you disputes the truth that you are that. So may you go forth and be the creative juice of the universe and be part of this beautiful stream and cycle of generosity and gratitude. And I will look forward to seeing you next week.